Welcome to Prairie Craft Almanac, a podcast exploring craft, nature, and simple living. From discussions on sewing and knitting to sharing valuable resources to just chatting about what's going on in the studio or garden, this is where I like to talk about all things creative. I'm your host, Leanne, and I'm also the maker behind Moth and Rust DIY, a blog where I share free knitting patterns, sewing tutorials, artist interviews, and more. I'm all about living your best creative life, and it is always my goal to inspire, encourage, and lift up others in their own creative journeys. Today, I'm chatting about Me Made May, plus corn, cotton, and self-confidence. It could save the planet, you know. Well, sort of, maybe. We'll talk about it. Anyway, I hope you will stay tuned. So I can hardly believe it's already May, mid-May nearly. I guess that means the year's almost halfway over. Anyway, I'm excited to finally officially be participating in Me Made May. I say officially because I may have in the past snagged the Me Made hashtag during the month of May to share a piece of clothing I had created, while not fully understanding that there is an actual challenge involved with it. But anyway, if you're not familiar, Me Made May, which is in its 13th year, I believe, was started by Zoe of the SoZo Sewing Blog. And since she explains it best, I'll just read directly from her blog to tell you what it's about. Me Made May is a wardrobe challenge that helps you improve your relationship with your handmade items. It can also teach you what to make and not make in the future. To participate, you need to wear your handmade items more often or in some way differently to how you usually get dressed. This is an individual challenge, so you will decide on the specifics for yourself. The point of doing this is to give yourself the opportunity to learn some useful lessons and/or alter how you feel about those items. There is no set single pledge because everyone is different, with different lives and different goals, so participants set the specifics of their own pledge so it'll be a challenge and useful for them. The challenge happens by setting specifics for yourself that will be a bit difficult but doable. So, Me Made May is not a sewing challenge, it's not about accumulating more clothing, but using what you have. Now, there was a time when I might have lamented the fact that it's not about making a bunch of new stuff, but I've learned over the years just how little I actually need a bunch of new stuff, and I'm really quite excited to have some encouragement to just wear what I've already made and pay attention to what works and what doesn't. I've really found that a lot of my favorite garments are actually plain and boxy, like my favorite linen shirts, which are basically just tubes or rectangles with armholes. But anyway, you don't have to have a bunch of clothes you made yourself to participate. Even if you just have one or two you made items, you can take part in the challenge. So if you are interested, be sure to visit the SoZo Sewing Blog, which of course I'm linking in the show notes. You'll be able to learn more and find the pledge templates if you're interested. I'm sure you can still jump in even if it's mid-May already. But again, none of this has to be publicly shared. It's really just about your personal clothing journey and encouraging you on that. Also, you can listen to Zoe's podcast, which is called Check Your Thread, where she explains more about Me Made May. I have not yet listened to the podcast. I started listening to one of them and I enjoyed what I heard, but I've just been really terrible about actually finding the time to listen to podcasts, which sounds a little crazy, but every time I have a chance to sit down and listen, something else is going on. So it's a podcast I haven't given a thorough listen to yet, but not for lack of trying or because I don't want to. Something else I'm working on is a tutorial for drafting your own bloomers pattern. And this particular tutorial, which will likely end up being a type of video, I won't go into the whole process of how to sew the bloomers because unfortunately my studio space still really isn't set up in a way that I can easily do that. I hope one day perhaps, but for now it probably won't happen. However, the actual construction uses really basic sewing techniques like straight seams and a folded over waistband for an elastic casing. But anyway, I'm excited about that. It might not be out for a few more weeks, if I'm lucky. But when it is out, I will be sure to share that with you. So I had a dream about blue corn. There wasn't much to it. I just had this really beautiful blue corn that I was using as beads to sew onto this deep blue fabric. No big deal. Then a day later, I began looking at a book called Natural Palettes by Sasha Durer, and I came across a color palette that had actually used blue corn cobs as the dye matter. Apparently, it can create pinks and purples and grays depending on the type of mordant that you use when dyeing. Anyway, also not a big deal, but I decided then that I wanted to grow some blue corn. I kind of thought I would stay away from more experimental stuff this year, especially corn, because it takes up more space in the garden and we'll likely have to put a electric wire around it because of raccoons and squirrels and things like that. But I kind of took these things as a sign that I needed to be growing blue corn. I don't know if I'll make beads out of it. I guess I could maybe, but I would like to try eating it and maybe dying with the cobs, so that will be an adventure. This particular type of corn is a flint corn, which means it's meant to be harvested once it's hard and then processed accordingly for things like cornmeal. I will probably try to use it this way, but I think it would be interesting to try some in its milk stage, which is when it's still soft and somewhat juicy and you can chew it, and try to eat it like sweet corn, kind of. Also, I don't see why I couldn't try popping it when it's hard, so we'll see what I do with that. Either way, the seeds are really beautiful, a deep blue, so if nothing else, it could be decorative. And while we're talking about garden updates, the green cotton, which, if you're wondering about the variety, is called Erlene's Green Cotton, is still alive, I'm happy to report. I was a little concerned because, as I said in the last podcast, I started these seeds indoors, because they take longer to mature than the brown cotton that I'm used to growing. So I transplanted these on Saturday, April 30th, I believe. And as of today, May 11th, they are still alive for the most part and looking good. So I think they made it past the initial shock. One of the 12 plants I ended up planting had its leaves eaten off by something, but the other are starting to get more leaves on them, which is very exciting. I read somewhere that alfalfa is supposed to be a good companion plant for cotton, and because I already had some alfalfa seeds, I tried sowing them next to the cotton, but they have not yet sprouted, so we'll see what happens. There's a theme I've been thinking about lately, and that is, if we're going to make progress toward more sustainable life choices, a strong and almost radical sense of self-confidence must be central to that change. Here's one example of what I mean. Take the phenomenon of the typical American lawn. I know I've probably already talked about this too much, but I'm a little obsessed with other people's obsession with their lawns. If you've been listening for a while, you might remember that last fall I said I wanted to start converting my lawn to native plants. I am a little behind on that project, but that's not the focus of our conversation today. So far, I've only ordered my seed catalogs, and I also bought a coneflower recently at a local plant sale, but that's not the point. Anyway, I've been looking at a lot of native planted yards online, of course, and they are undeniably beautiful in appearance, not to mention they're healthy. Maintaining them requires no chemicals and really no water because these native plants are adapted to thrive in their, well, native climate. Native planted yards support pollinators and wildlife, which in turn support us and make for an overall healthier world. There is objectively nothing wrong with them. In fact, I would say everything is right with this type of yard. And yet, still, for some reason, many, many people continue to cling to the idea of what a proper yard should look like. A flat, non-native monoculture of grass to be mowed to a stub on a weekly basis, regularly plied with synthetic fertilizers, toxic herbicides and pesticides, and so on. So I wonder, when a native planted yard is superior in pretty much every way, why aren't more people embracing it? Why do so many still insist on their chemical-laden green carpeting? I've come to the conclusion that, aside from possibly not knowing better, a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that a gorgeous, thriving yard of native plants isn't what the neighbors are doing. We've been convinced that only a golf course of a lawn is acceptable. What would people think if we were different? Basically, it's peer pressure. It's the same with, you might have guessed, clothing. If you want to follow the most cutting-edge trends in fashion, you're probably going to be buying clothing quite frequently. And many, if not most, of the clothes that are currently the in item are going to be in the realm of what we'd consider fast fashion, cheaply and unethically made, synthetic fibers full of chemical pollutants. All in all, not good. Whereas embracing slow fashion, on the other hand, is immensely preferable. You wear your clothing until it wears out, or it can be mended or refashioned or possibly rehomed. You'll save money, and it's objectively better for people and the environment. Yes, the most recent fast fashion outfits can look cute, but so can slow fashion. Some of the most incredible clothing pieces and outfits I've seen are pieces that were visibly mended or thrifted. And don't underestimate the beauty of a simple garment made with care from all natural fibers. There are so many unique and wonderful and appealing things you can do with fashion while also keeping it sustainable. But then again, there's that issue of peer pressure and doing what's popular. I am genuinely not trying to judge or criticize anyone right now. I know everyone has experienced and many times, including myself, caved to peer pressure. While the need to feel belonging within a community is understandable, it seems like these things go beyond that. I wonder how often people make choices based on what they genuinely enjoy and what they think would be best, and how often their choices are based on what they think people will think of them. Again, this isn't meant to criticize anyone who has a conventional lawn or who shops fast fashion. I am not about being perfect. I think the important thing is to keep learning and doing our best. I believe a lot of people have great taste and maybe don't even know it because we've been convinced that we need to do things, make things, maintain things just like everyone else. This is why I think that if we're going to be more eco-conscious, to strive for a more sustainable life, we can't worry about what's popular or not, or what somebody else is trying to sell us, but rather, we must cultivate the self-confidence needed to make the best choices. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. If you ever have any questions about anything or have a suggestion for a show topic, do not hesitate to reach out to me. You can email me at mothandrustdiy@gmail.com or get in touch through social media. I will, of course, put links to all of my accounts and everything else I talked about in this episode in the show notes. You can find free tutorials, patterns, and so much more at my website, mothandrustdiy.com. If you enjoyed this show, I hope you'll consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you do that, be sure to leave your Instagram handle so I can check out what you are up to and give you a shout out. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you are well, and please take care of yourself.